Sal Pontica is here welcoming you to this edition of the Metro Show. Training dogs to become service dogs is an exhaustive and expensive process. But once that dog completes his or her training, the real changes begin. A service dog brings life-changing assistance to veterans with visible and invisible disabilities, including PTSD. We're going to discuss the training methods and success stories of service dogs with my special guest, Nicole Lanahan. Nicole is the founder and executive director of Got Your Six Support Dogs. It's a local organization that trains PTSD service dogs and therapy dogs. Nicole, welcome to the show. Give us a little background information on Got Your Six Support Dogs.
Absolutely. So I've been a dog trainer for 17 years, and I've trained service dogs for people with mobility issues, and I trained police military dogs, dogs to find narcotics. So I did have a background in service dog training, but I was teaching obedience classes. And what I noticed was about 5 years ago, I was getting more and more phone calls from veterans looking for PTSD service dogs. And I didn't train PTSD service dogs at the time, so I did my best to help them find organizations that did. I tried to refer them to different places. And what ended up happening repeatedly is they would call me back and say, okay, this organization wants to charge me $20,000, or this organization has a 5-year waiting list and I need help now. And what really got to me was I remember exactly where I was. I was in the car driving back from Chicago, and I had a person break down on the phone in tears with me. And she said, I don't understand why you just can't help me. And I thought about it and I thought, well, why can't I help you? So that was kind of that moment in the car was the birth of Got Your Six Support Dogs, because the very next day I went to my accountant and asked him, okay, how do I file a 501c3? And he was just like, oh, Nicole, why do you want to do this? I go, it's just something I have to do. And from there, I went to This Able Veteran, which is located in Carbondale, and they've been training PTSD service dogs for 20 years. And I took their service dog trainers training program from Behesha, who's amazing, and learned exactly how their program runs. I learned how they train their dogs, what their dogs do, because their dogs do things a little bit differently and their program runs a little bit differently than a lot of PTSD service dog organizations in the country. And I fell in love with their model and their logic and their philosophy. And so we adopted all of that when we started Got Your Six Support Dogs here in the Metro East.
Does that Carbondale group work with puppies?
Yes.
Are they solely puppies, or do they also bring in shelter dogs?
Yeah, that's kind of what makes us a little bit different, is this year, our class of 2018 is 80% rescue, which we didn't start out, but we just had some really great rescue dogs. Now, This Able Veteran, I know they solely do puppies. They're firm believers in raising and imprinting puppies. And I understand that philosophy. But this year we had some rescue dogs pop up that were just amazing. And so our 2018 class is going to be mostly rescue. But we do stick with mostly retrievers. We have a lot of people ask, well, what sorts of dogs do you use? We stick with retrievers. We did have a couple German Shepherds sneak into our group this coming up year. But we do stick with retrievers because we found that retrievers, they were bred specifically to work with people. So when it comes to service work, they're really enthusiastic about it. I use the analogy that because I've trained police dogs, so I work with a lot of German Shepherds, and I use the analogy that if you walk into the room with a German Shepherd, they walk in like, all right, what can I do? I'm here. I've got this. Where you walk in the room with a Labrador and they're going to look to you and say, okay, I'm here. What do you want me to do? What do you need? So they're definitely less independent as, say, a Shepherd. So sometimes Shepherds don't work out that well because they are so independent.
How do you guys handle it if one of your dogs doesn't work out? Do you adopt the dog out?
We do adopt out our dogs, our I don't want to say failures. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a better word. The ones that just don't have an aptitude for service work. And sometimes we'll get really energetic dogs. Like I adopted one out myself. Like I adopted personally. He came in and he is just, I call him the spaz because he's just a pass. He can't sit still. I'm like, this dog is going to cause anxiety. But he's great for hanging out with me, and I run, so he works out. So far, every dog that hasn't worked out, we've been fortunate. We have over 100 volunteers and growing in our organization. So we have been giving our volunteers first crack at adoption. However, this year coming up, we're starting a Pets for Vets program where we're going to, let's say we have veterans that don't necessarily need a service dog, but maybe they would like an emotional support animal or just a pet. We're going to start having adoption applications that they'll get the first crack at any dog that doesn't make it as a service dog. It's actually more common than you think because of sexual maturity. So dogs, when they reach about 8 months, and it can go all the way to 16 months, they're in this sexual maturity stage. And when they're in this sexual maturity, something, what we call a latent behavior, can pop up. They've been great, but now during all this goofy hormone business that happens at sexual maturity, you have these teenage dogs, this latent behavior, and it's common in Labradors, but it's more common, I would say, in more protective breeds like German Shepherds or any kind of independent breed. Sometimes your bully breeds, that you'll get this kind of a more protective side that just pops up again at that sexual maturity. So, and I see it in just regular training all the time. People will say, well, I don't understand. I've had this dog for 8-9 months, and all of a sudden now I'm getting a totally different behavior. And unfortunately, that can be quite common. And we've actually washed out a few dogs because of that. They became maybe a little more fearful at being out and about in public, and we can't have that either. And unfortunately, that's just kind of something that comes with the territory of dog training. And we're not going to push a dog that isn't able to do the task we want them to do into it. We're not going to force them into a mold that doesn't fit.
You're listening to The Metro Show. I'm Stal Pontikas with my guest, Nicole Lanahan. She's the executive director of Got Your Six Support Dogs here in Metro St. Louis, a special organization that trains PTSD service dogs and therapy dogs. Nicole, give us a little insight on how you go through the pairing process of putting a dog with a veteran.
So the pairing process itself is actually one of my favorite parts. In order to get a service dog through us, we have a pretty extensive application. And once we receive the application, we'll usually get permission to either talk to the doctor or therapist to get some more information on the applicant. And then we're going to do interviews with the applicant themselves, as well as their spouse or adult children or parents, to really get a good understanding of who this person is and what sorts of things that they're needing help with. Now, from there, we've been working with our dogs by this time for at least a year, if not 18 months. So we really know these dogs. So we're going to pair the dogs based on the personality of the applicant. So if we have maybe a standoffish applicant, we're going to pair them with an outgoing dog. If we give maybe a more quiet, standoffish dog to a standoffish person, that's a recipe for disaster. We're just encouraging them to go hole up somewhere. But if we give them an outgoing dog, it almost forces them to be more social. Somebody who's maybe a little rough around the edges or maybe has some anger issues, we call them the princess dogs. We like to give them the princess dogs because it's amazing how quick, and we have it every year, they start babying these dogs. Even these big, rough guys who say that they have issues with shouting and stuff, they'll come in and we'll see them even a year later and they're, oh, my little baby, and they're holding their dog. She's my little princess. And so we'll give them the dog that's going to soften them up. Somebody who's active, we're going to give them an active dog. Somebody who has children, we're going to give them a dog that we know has been vetted around kids, loves kids. So it's a bunch of factors when we're deciding which dog that we're pairing. And some dogs are better skilled at certain things than others. We'll have dogs that really excel in nightmare interruption. So we're going to pair them up with somebody who really has bad night terrors. And one of the magical things about dogs, one of my favorite things too, is you get these men and women back from war. And in war, there's certain things that are not valuable. Love, those kind of things, because you're in a fight for your life scenario. So you're in survival mode. And when you come back home, you're stuck in that mode. It's not just, okay, flip a switch and I'm back to being human again. And I think the most common thing that we hear from all of our applicants across the board, I could probably say every single one of them has said this to me at one point, I don't feel human anymore. And I don't know how to be human. And it's because that hypervigilance that I need to survive, those things that we take for granted, caring, showing love, showing compassion, joking, all that goes away because it's not necessary for survival wherever they were. When you get a dog, you can't help but we call it relearning those feelings. You can't help but make yourself vulnerable around a dog. A lot of our men and women, they feel like they have to be strong around their families. I can't let them know how broken I am, how damaged. So I'm going to sit here and be strong, even if it means being quiet, even if it means not showing emotion. But when you're around this dog, that dog breaks through all those barriers because they don't care if you're broken. These men and women, they're able again to relearn those feelings of emotion because they can share it on this dog without any caution. And it's a wonderful, beautiful thing to see.
You're listening to The Metro Show. I'm Stel Pontikas. My guest is Nicole Lanahan. She's the founder and executive director of Got Your Six Support Dogs, a local organization that trains PTSD service dogs and therapy dogs. Nicole, I'm sure there's a story behind your choice of Got Your Six for the name of your organization.
Absolutely. So we chose the name Got Your Six because it's a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to our military and our first responders because it's military and first responder slang. And it started in World War II. It was started by the fighter pilots because when they're talking about their position in the air, they're using the position of a clock. So when they're going out in formation, one pilot would tell the other, hey, I got your six, meaning I got your 6 o'clock, meaning I got your back. So we're essentially, we got your back support dogs.
And your location is in the Metro East?
Yes. So right now we're renting a training facility. We rent the training facility at Cindy's Critter Camp in Maryville, Illinois. And that's where we're currently operating out of.
So with your years of experience, I'm sure you've run across numerous instances of being confronted by fake service dogs. And that issue has gotten a lot of exposure over the past year or so. It seems as though the issue is getting more and more difficult, even with the ADA law that's in effect. Explain to us the difference between service dogs and therapy dogs and medical alert dogs.
Medical alert dogs can fall into the spectrum of service dogs because they are doing a medical test. So the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, defines a service dog as a dog who is able to perform a medical task. So our PTSD service dogs perform medical tasks. They will awake a veteran or first responder from night terrors. They can do compression therapy, which is getting up on them and applying that compression therapy to calm them down. Our dogs are trained to retrieve items such as cell phones if they need it. They will alert to anxiety. So if they notice, and we tailor this to the veteran. So like, for instance, myself personally, when I get anxious, I'll start scratching my arms. So if I were to start scratching my arm, then the dog would come up and paw me saying, hey, you're getting a little bit anxious. Now, from there, what I do is up to me. We provide therapy when we're placing our dogs. So the veteran or first responder who's receiving our dog also gets a toolbox full of tools that they're able to use to figure out what works for me when I need to calm down. Do I want to do some music therapy? Do I want to do some box breathing? Do I want to practice some meditation? So they learn all these skills. So because it's not the dog that's going to cure PTSD, but the dog is an aid in that journey. But we also provide them with tools and help for that as well. So again, a service dog is a dog that's able to perform medical tasks. An emotional support animal does not need training. They are there, again, just for what it says, emotional support. So if I get nervous or if I am stressed out, having my dog makes me feel better. So that's an emotional support animal. Again, no training. But what people don't understand and where they're trying to bend the rules is emotional support animals are not guaranteed or protected under law public access, which means they cannot go where the public goes. The one exception to this is an airplane. As it is right now, an emotional support animal can go on a plane provided they have documentation from a doctor, which unfortunately is easy to purchase online. So we're getting animals and turkeys and snakes and dogs that are biting people on airplanes with no training and probably aren't able to perform those medical tasks and possibly fake documentation purchase online. And they're now kind of infiltrating public and wreaking all kinds of havoc, especially for the service dogs that we're training and other organizations that are training. They're getting bitten by these dogs that have no training. They're getting attacked. And now our people are showing up at public places that have had these untrained animals, and they're more leery about letting in animals. And so we're getting a harder time when it comes to public access. So yeah, it's becoming a bigger problem.
With that in mind, do you think that there's a solution to the problem?
I know there are people that work very, very hard to train their own service dog. And there are self-trained service dogs. And there are people that train their own service animals and are doing wonderful jobs. Because as it is right now, there is no certification. We certify our service dogs through us. If somebody self-trains a service dog, and again, there are many people out there that do an outstanding job training their own service dogs, but they put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of work into it. And I would hate to say that we need national certification for their sake, but I almost think that we almost do. And I hate to see how kind of messy it would get. Anytime you have the government step in, it gets messy. But I'm sure they're already sitting over there like, how can we make money? We'll just have licenses. And I can see, I just see it on the horizon. I really do. I really see a national certification coming on the horizon. And I think the more dogs that bite and the more issues that we're having, and I see it happening.
With that in mind, when a situation arises, what are the two questions that can be asked?
They can ask, is that a service dog? What tasks is that service dog able to help you with? And at this point, there's no winners. Nobody's winning. The business owners aren't winning because they're getting unruly dogs. The public's not winning because we're getting animals that are biting, and people with properly trained service dogs, we're not winning either because our dogs are getting bit, and we're having a harder time with public access, and we're having a harder time being taken seriously too, because we've had of all these dogs that are creating and other animals a bad name for what an actual service dog should be trained to do and what they should look like and how they should behave.
And speaking of behavior, I presume from your perspective, you believe that a service dog should, in essence, be invisible in public. For instance, if they're in a restaurant, you shouldn't even notice that the service dog is there.
That's exactly it. And we're a firm believer of the four on the floor rule, too, which means if a service dog is out in public, all four paws are on that floor. At a restaurant, they should never be in a chair at the table. And that's a health code violation as well. And at supermarkets or stores, they should never be in a grocery cart, because, again, that's a health code violation also. Some people possibly need their dogs up closer. And if that's the case, they make carriers that they can carry them to their chest if they need to smell their breath, if it's a blood sugar issue. And we all went to a restaurant when the veterans were here last month, and it was almost comical because we were there eating pizza. All the dogs are under the table. Nobody knew we had five dogs under the table. Nobody had a clue. And when we left, people, their eyes just got so big, and some of them were laughing because it looked like a clown car. We're getting up to leave, and here's the dog, here's the dog, here's the dog. And they're like, oh my gosh, we had no idea. And that's really how it should be.
You're listening to The Metro Show. I'm Stel Ponticus. My guest is Nicole Lanahan. She's the founder and executive director of Got Your Six Support Dogs. They're a local organization that trains PTSD service dogs and therapy dogs. Nicole, you touched on the fact a little bit earlier that training these dogs is an expensive proposition. Tell us how your funding is set up to handle day-to-day expenses.
A lot of people assume that we get money from the government or the VA. And right now, since the VA is doing their own study on the effectiveness of service dogs, now we can already tell you that answer, but we're going to let them do their study. Since they're doing their study, there's no funding currently for service dogs for the military. There is an act in Congress right now called the PAWS Act, but it hasn't passed yet. So right now we get all of our funding is through fundraisers, private donations. We get a few grants. But again, as a nonprofit, it's all donated.
Speaking of donations, I'm sure that includes fundraisers. Where would be the best place for folks to go to get information about your upcoming events?
All of our fundraising events can be found on our website at gotyoursixsupportdogs.org. We have something going on every month. I feel like the volunteers and the staff that assist with the fundraising, they're amazing. And we are so blessed to have so many great volunteers and people in our organization that care about our mission as much as I do. Just very blessed.
If someone would like to volunteer, how do they get in touch with you? Would accessing you guys on the website be the
yes,
best way?
Yes, we okay. have a volunteer submission form on our website, and contacting us through our Facebook page is always a good thing too.
Going back to the fundraising aspect for a moment, I know that's critical for you because it's expensive for these dogs to go through this extensive training.
A service dog costs us approximately $20,000 to train, and when you tell somebody this, their eyes get humongous. Like, how is that possible? You've got to be inflating that or making that up. It just doesn't make any sense. And so to break it down, the reason that's so much is because not only do we pay for the food and the vetting and the training expenses, the leashes, the collars, the bowls, everything that everybody else pays for their dog, absolutely, and the bathing and some boarding, but we also pay the training costs for these dogs that get hours and hours of training. And we also worked into that cost is the cost of the training with the veteran. Because when we place a dog, we pay for the veteran or first responder to stay in a hotel. They're with us for 10 days. We pay for their meals while they're here. We pay for their hotel costs and their outing costs. And they also get therapy time. And so we pay for the fee of the therapist to be there for the 10 days too. And so all of that cost is wrapped up into the cost of the dog. And so that's what equals our $20,000 price tag. And we have a donation form on our website. We are always happy to come and do, sometimes corporations like us to come and do a presentation. Always happy to come do that and bring a dog. We just placed our service dogs.
Oh, that's cool. Tell us a little bit about those dogs and their handlers.
This was an exciting class. We had, it's funny how far our reach is getting. So we had one veteran from Mississippi and one from Iowa, and then three from Missouri, different places in Missouri. One Navy, one Marine, and then the rest Army. We didn't have a first responder this year. We had a first responder last year. It's funny, when they come in, they sit down, they'll fold their arms across their chest, they lean back, they scowl at you. It's like, okay, they are shutting that door in your face. Like, I'm here, whatever. And then by day two, they're opening up. But that's when they get their dogs. Their day two, they don't get the dog till day two. Day two, they get their dog, and it's a whole brand new. They're smiling, they're laughing. And this group, it was super cool to see because they extra connected to each other. So they formed not only friendships with us and their dogs, but with themselves too. So now they created their own support group, which was super cool to see. I know they still all talk to each other on a daily basis, which just makes me so happy. And we received a letter from one of the veterans' 13-year-old daughter thanking us, saying, I wanted you to know, I know we've only had my dad's dog for 20 days, but I've noticed a huge change in him. He doesn't yell at us anymore. He's happier. He goes for walks with us and the dog every night. And it was just...
That's what makes it all worthwhile.
It's what makes it all worth it. I mean, the whole thing could implode tomorrow. And I would still just be like, it was worth it for this girl and her dad. It was all worth it. All the hardship and the struggle. And will we still be operating next year? Well, all that stress and worry, hey, we did this, so it's worth it.
This is the Metro Show. I'm Stal Ponticus with my guest, Nicole Lanahan. She's the founder and executive director of Got Your Six Support Dogs, a local organization that trains PTSD service dogs and therapy dogs. Speaking of PTSD, Nicole, give us some background information on PTSD and how it's been affecting veterans to the point of 22 suicides a day.
One of the things about PTSD that I don't think a lot of people realize is that the number's actually gone down, which is good. It used to be 22 veterans a day, but it's now 20 veterans a day are committing suicide. Again, we started this because the suicide statistic is awful. And it's not just the suicide. While that's awful enough, but those suffering from PTSD, They're a lot of times turning to drugs and alcohol. These men and women are having trouble finding work. Their relationships with their families are failing. The divorce rates are super high. The unemployment rates are super high. And a lot of times the answer that they're finding when they're going to the doctor or trying to get treatment are more pills, and they're just giving them pills and pills and pills. And while, yes, some pills are the answer, we found that dogs are also a wonderful solution. And what a lot of people don't know about dogs too is if you pet a dog for 30 seconds, so this is a totally untrained dog. This is the magic of dogs. If you pet a dog for 30 seconds, it takes 30 seconds, but then serotonin gets released in your brain. So essentially, it's like taking a little Xanax. Just by petting a dog, you don't even have to do anything else. And not only does that happen to you, that serotonin, that dopamine, it happens to the dog too. So you're both getting this happy shot. And that's the wonderful thing about dogs. Now you add the training and you've just got a recipe for success. But that's why PTSD service dogs work. We did our projections and outcome survey for last year's class, and what we found was that 80% of them were able to decrease their medication, and 80% were also sleeping through the night, which before they had come to us, 0% of them were sleeping through the night. And that in itself is amazing. So we've just been thrilled with the outcomes that we've seen just in last year's class alone. We can't wait to see what this year's class does. We have one class of 6 dogs every year. We're hoping to expand to hopefully about, we like to add on 2 dogs every year as our funds allow. So we're going to be pushing for 8. And it's different with every different type of service dog, whether it's a seizure alert dog or a diabetic alert dog. But with our PTSD service dogs, again, we train them to alert to the specific anxiety tell of that person. And that could be something as slight as the tightening of the jaw. So if they're grinding their teeth, they're starting to get anxious and they grind their teeth, that dog's going to look for that tendon to tighten in the jaw. And if somebody comes up, oh, what up, hubby, and distracts them and the dog's looking at them instead of noticing that slight tell, then we could have the chance of a veteran suffering a full-blown panic attack before that dog's able to alert them to the rising anxiety. If they miss the rising anxiety, then that person's already too far gone and they're in full-blown panic attack. So that's why it's not, I mean, I like dogs as much as anybody, if not more, and I love them. And of course, I want to pet every dog I see, but it's one of those things that if you see one out in public and they're working, you really can't distract them. And maybe if it's not a PTSD service dog, if it's a seizure alert dog and you're distracting them, if they miss a seizure, oh my gosh, or a diabetic alert dog, that could be the difference between life and death of somebody if their blood sugar is dropping and you're distracting that dog and that dog doesn't tell them in time, we've got a big problem.
Nicole Lanahan from Got Your 6 Support Dogs has been my guest here on the Metro Show. I hope this behind-the-scenes look at the training process for service dogs and therapy dogs has been informative and enlightening for you like it's been for me. That wraps up this edition of the show. I hope you'll join us again next weekend for another edition of the Metro Show.